here on Instagram Live. We got a really special guest with us tonight. NBA superstar, Portland Trailblazer, CJ McCollum, 7-year NBA vet. Can't wait to talk to him a little bit about his career, where he started from, and obviously into the superstar that he is now. You know, I'm a huge fan of his, and we met up a few years ago, and you know, became friends ever since. So can't wait to chat to him. Let's bring him in.
What's up, man?
Yo, what's up, my man? What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Enjoying life, trying to make the best of the circumstances, the situation. Where are you at right now?
Man, I'm at home. I'm at home in London. I'm with the family, so I've been home four or five weeks now since they shut us down in Italy. So yeah, it's been nice to spend a lot of time with the kids, man, the family. So all good. How about you?
I'm in Oregon. I thought about leaving when it first happened, but it was just too much of a risk to travel. Weren't sure if I'm asymptomatic and carrying or not. Like all those things you kind of go through, and you don't want to put your family at risk. So I just stayed out the way.
Nice, man. Nice. So thanks for coming on. Season of Sports, man. This is pretty cool. So you are officially the most high-profile guest we ever had. Congratulations.
Thanks for having
me. So we're going to get into a little bit about your career, how you started off and with basketball, and then, you know, we'll get into how things are now, being at the top of your game, and things with the Trailblazers. And we'll get into a few questions. We've had obviously a lot of questions in for you. Which I'm sure you'd love to answer. We've got some really cool ones actually, so can't wait. But you're a 7-year NBA vet. You were drafted in 2013, which is crazy. 28 years old now, and you were born in Canton, Ohio. So were you always into basketball? Is that always something you wanted to do? Is it in the family? How did you become a basketball player?
Yeah, I've always loved basketball. It's always been a part of my life. My mom played, my dad played, my big brother, he played. We all played basketball, baseball, football growing up. And basically, we got to an age where my mom was basically telling us, you have to make a decision. You have to pick one. If you want to become a professional, you need to master one sport. You're kind of splitting up your time working out, and now's the time to make a decision. So going into my freshman year, so around 14, I stopped playing baseball, I stopped playing basketball, I stopped running track, and just devoted all my time to basketball year-round. And it's funny because baseball was my best sport. It was just not my fun sport, so I chose basketball.
It's worked out good for you, man. Good choice. nice choice. You went to college at Lehigh. You played for the Mountain Hawks. How did that come about?
I didn't have a lot of offers early on. I was short, I was undersized, and I got a late start to playing varsity. I didn't start till my junior year. And they were actually one of the first schools to send me an official letter of interest from a Division I school. I'd never heard of Lehigh. I gained a great relationship with Coach Logie, one of the assistants at the time, who was associate head coach. And they were consistent, they were persistent. And I ended up getting some offers from other schools, but I kind of felt like that was the best place for me from a situation standpoint, playing time to the fact that they're a prestigious university. It all kind of lined up for me. And I was nervous about it, and I ended up choosing that. I committed September 17th, 2 days before my birthday, which was September 19th. And it was the best decision I've ever made up to this point in my life.
Man, that's so cool. That's so cool. I mean, it's kind of crazy because a lot of guys, you go to these big-time programs and everything right away, but you really like worked your way up, man. You've earned everything you've had. And sometimes actually I feel like it's better to get into that smaller environment where you're going to get really looked after well, you're going to have the time in your life. And I think, you know, it seems like that's the way it's worked out for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was, you know, more of a big fish in a small sea type of thing, to where I was able to make mistakes. I was able to play right away. I was exposed to a lot, had a lot of responsibilities. I don't think my life would have turned out the same if I would have went to a bigger school, because I probably wouldn't have played right away. It would have been a unique start for me, to say the least, and I'm glad I was able to kind of work through some of those growing pains early on as a young player.
Nice, man, nice. And then that took you to the big time. 2013, you got drafted 10th overall by the Trailblazers. Actually, pretty cool, pretty good draft class as well. Rudy Gobert, Victor Oladipo, yeah. Dennis Schroeder. Some serious dudes, man. Some good players in that draft. How did it feel to go to Portland?
It felt good. She's being nosy. It felt good to get drafted. It was a dream come true, being the first person drafted from Lehigh University. Being another kid to make it out of a small city like Canton, Ohio, it was an amazing experience, something I'll never forget. I have my family and my friends there, and it's crazy how life has turned out. Like you said before, 7 years later, I'm still here and still trying to make a name for myself. Go do your work.
Was that your
wife-to-be.
Wife-to-be, fiancé, nice, nice. How come, that's what happens when you get married, man, as well. They're all over the place when you get kids. I'm here in my office. It's the only place in the house that where I get a little bit of peace, like my little man cave. But it's the smallest room in the house, too, so.
Yeah, I got
just want to know. Always there, man.
I come here searching for freedom and peace, actually. You know, harasses me.
Harass.
Oh, man. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. So you get drafted by the Trailblazers, and then you win NBA's Most Improved Player in the 2015-2016 season. I mean, how cool was that?
That was amazing. That was kind of like life coming full circle. You start off, small school, you end up getting drafted, you go through some injuries, you have some setbacks, you don't play right away, and then you get a chance to play, and you take to having faith and the coaching staff and everyone kind of believing in me and putting me in position. So it was really cool to experience that. That was basically my do or die year. I knew that if I didn't play well that season, I probably was going to be traded and labeled as a bust at that point.
Nice, nice, man. Listen, I mean, you proved everyone. I think that was your sort of coming out party. I think you went to one of the big superstars, and I've enjoyed watching you for many years now. And I remember that year very, very well. So you're in a pretty cool spot with the Trailblazers. I think one of the things I love you is you've been very loyal to the franchise. You've been there now 7 years. I think you've re-signed there twice, if I'm not mistaken. So I think it's pretty cool. How do you see things now with Dame Lillard? Obviously, my Bosnian brother, Nurk is there with you. I mean, it's a pretty cool, pretty good core. I mean, the future looks pretty bright. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody healthy. Obviously, the big fellow will be back whenever we decide to return from a health standpoint. He'll be healthy and ready to go. Rodney Hood's almost ready. Dame and I have grown together. We've learned together. We've been, through the fire, played in big games. We've lost big games. We've won big games. We've had to go through a lot of different growth factors as basketball players and as people. And I wouldn't want to play with anybody else. I'm thankful to be able to play alongside him. Hopefully when we get back to playing again, we can go make a run and try to bring Portland a championship.
You talk about getting back to playing again. I mean, what's the situation over there now with this whole coronavirus? I mean, are they guys telling you anything?
Yeah,
as in when you might be back?
I have no idea. I'm going to schedule a call. I'm going to schedule a Zoom call tomorrow with the guys and kind of go through what I've been hearing from an NBPA standpoint. But we basically, we're on the outs just like everyone else. It's just continuing conversation on like what ifs. Hopefully we can get back. But obviously the government has to kind of figure out this situation. Got to get a control on the virus and figure out the testing and kind of go through all those things. So I feel like we're a little ways off before we can return, but I'm looking forward to spending time with family and to kind of continue to figure out ways to help everybody
nice.
Before we get back.
Nice, man. That sounds really, really good. I mean, what would you like to have when you go back? I mean, do you want to kind of play in one city? Would it be cool to have everybody in one city just playing a lot of games, or you want to just kind of go back to normal as soon as possible?
If it's safe and they're able to pull it off, I wouldn't mind playing in one city.
Yeah.
That'd give you those NCAA tournament vibes a little bit. Maybe
high school
city. That would kind of be cool from a health standpoint if they're able to execute it. I wouldn't mind it. I just feel like it's going to be tough to monitor everything that goes into the game. You got the pregame meal, like who's catering the meal, like how are you going to go through that process? And then if you're staying in a hotel, you have to make sure that no one's positive that could be potentially cleaning the rooms. Then you got room service, and you got referees. There's just all these components and factors that kind of play into how do you keep everyone as safe as possible while still distancing yourself, which is kind of hard to do.
It's kind of the most tricky part. When we're in the same boat, we have no idea when we're going back. Well, I have no idea when I'm going back to Italy. I mean, they're looking at all sorts of different scenarios, whether we all play in one city, whether it's in a couple of cities, or whether we're going to do it. Obviously, we know it's going to be without fans. I think that's one thing for certain. It's going to be no fans, at least to finish this season off, which is a shame. But obviously, we have to look at the safety side of things first. So I'm intrigued to see what happens. I mean, we really don't know. We have a big deadline here in Europe with June 30th, where contracts end.
Yeah, and it's gonna be
tough. So it's like, how do you roll over and how do you affect budgets? Like, it's just, you know, almost chasing your tail. So I wouldn't be surprised if they call it, like if they get to a certain date and they just sort of knock the season on the head and see you sort of next season kind of thing. So it'd be interesting to see, man.
We talked about meditation. We talked about doubt, self-doubt, the importance of, you know, having a proper surrounding cast around you, from family to friends. I've had on Oladipo, Donovan Mitchell, KD. KD and I had a great part one, part two a couple of years ago. I have to get him back on. Kind of close things off. I've had Steve Nash on, which was great.
Legend.
Gave us insight. Legend, Hall of Fame. Gave us insight on work ethic, going through small school mentality, all that stuff. Melo was on recently, right? Actually, we were recording as the NBA got announced that we'd be suspending the season, which was crazy. So we recorded that and have that happen.
I heard that. How is Melo? I mean, how is playing with someone like him? You know, he's done it all in the game, right? I mean, everyone loves Melo. What's he been like?
It's been fun playing with him. He's low-key, low-maintenance. He works hard. He stays outdoors. He's got a lot of knowledge, a lot of stories. He just gave us kind of a boost. We were hurt. We had a lot of injuries, banged up, high expectations, and we weren't kind of reaching those. And he was a guy who was kind of contemplating retirement, but still good enough to play. He decided to come back. We had a spot for him. It was kind of like a mutual situation where we needed him and he needed us, and we welcomed him with open arms. And he gave us a boost and kind of like reignited his career. I think that he was kind of leaning towards, you know, walking away now. He's in a position where he's got some more years left in the tank.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, does it look like he'll play another couple of years, or what's he?
I think
what's
so.
What's he thinking? Yeah,
I'm gonna have to call him, FaceTime him later today and check in. But I think he's gonna play some more years. I don't think he's trying to walk away right now, especially under these circumstances. You know, with the season, you know, being put on hold like this with 16 games left, I think that he realizes that he's got more in the tank. And his love for the game has probably grown back again, you know, after being around family and traveling and being a full-time dad. He got to jump back into basketball, and I think it kind of rekindled the flame.
Nice. I'm a big fan of his as well. I mean, he's done everything in the game there is to do. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, so it must be pretty cool to play with guys like him. Best team in the league this year, Lakers, Bucks, Clippers. Who's the toughest you play against?
If we didn't win it all, I would say Lakers. I think the Lakers, Bron was on a mission. He was locked in. He was focused. They were playing well. They had just had a streak where they beat the Bucks. They beat the Clippers. He took the challenge. I think they were heading, training in the right direction. Obviously, health, all that stuff plays a factor. But I would say Lakers or Clippers were my picks.
Yeah.
Potentially, probably would. I think the Bucks. Up until like the last 3 weeks, I thought the Bucks were going to win it all. But then, you know, just you can never, it's hard to bet against a healthy LeBron, especially an angry, healthy LeBron who's coming off a year with his hurt.
Yeah. I was going to say, if he's motivated, man, like those games against the Clippers and, you know, even the Celtics just before that everything shut down. I mean, I don't know how you stop that guy. I mean, when he's playing like that and, you know, it's got AD as a sidekick now. Like, you know, I don't care who the Clippers, if they throw five guys at him, you know, like, it's still going to be tough, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a problem. He's a problem. AD is a problem. Obviously, from a depth standpoint, they got some guys coming off the bench that impact the game. They got defenders. But the Clippers, like I said, the Clippers are good. The Clippers are a very good team. They're deep. They had a lot. They had a lot to offer in the seven-game series. So I would say one of those two teams, but I think I give LeBron the edge.
Nice. Well, listen, before we get into some of these questions, I've been listening to your pod, and you're into hot yoga. Hey, I got into hot yoga about 5 months ago. My wife and I, it's like religious now, Tuesday night. We're doing some online classes now, but how good is hot yoga?
I love it. I love it. I got into it in college. I was rehabbing and eventually kind of finding my way after I fractured my foot. And it gave me peace. It gave me peace, gave me a sense of calm, stillness, and understanding of the body. My concentration levels, you know, went to new heights after I started taking yoga from a heart rate standpoint, being able to get my heart rate down, gaining that flexibility. And I enjoy it. I haven't done it in a while. I need to get back on my online. Well, maybe I'll do some feeler tweets to see who's trying to offer me a Zoom class.
Definitely.
Or just log on to Peloton and try to get me a Peloton yoga class.
Peloton, I've been hitting that thing hard as well, so good thing to have. Good stuff. So we're going to get some questions from a viewer, so thanks for getting all your questions in. We've got a question for you from the End One podcast. CJ, do you have a favorite soccer team?
That's tough. I just found my Xbox. I haven't played the game in years. I'm gonna purchase FIFA tonight and get some playing in. But yeah, I don't really have a favorite team. I used to collect jerseys and then kind of go through that phase. But when I played FIFA,
Liverpool's pretty good at the moment.
I think I played with Netherlands.
Yeah, Holland, man. They're a good team as well. The orange, yeah. If you need a club team, Liverpool, everyone, mate, we're going to see all the comments coming through Liverpool. Liverpool is the team of the moment right now. So that's a good shout. We've got a question here from Bessa Ravage. A question for you, CJ and Asmir. Since you both got professional contracts very, very early in your career, how challenging was it to adjust to that brand new lifestyle, which obviously came very fast and you had no time to grow into it? Since CJ mentioned that some players are living paycheck to paycheck recently, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's an adjustment period you go through. You know, for me, I didn't grow up with a lot of money, especially the type of money that I have now. So there was a period of time where you had to learn about money, how to find it, how to invest it, what type of investments to do, figure out who to hire and how to hire people. It was a long process for me, and I'm thankful that I went to school for 4 years, so I had a better understanding of how to budget, how to kind of plan my future, how to take money out from an investment side, 401k, and go through all that stuff. But I think a lot of kids, you know, they get drafted at 18 or 19, and they're the first person in their family to really have wealth. They don't budget right, they make poor investments. And it's not just young people that make poor investments. You look at the NBA historically, sometimes you hire someone you trust and they take advantage of you, similar to the Tim Duncan situation. Tim Duncan's a very bright guy, and his financial advisor and someone he trusted essentially stole money from him, millions of dollars. And then KG had the same financial advisor, and it's reported that he stole upwards of $60 million from him. So you have these situations, right? You have these situations where you trust someone and they take advantage of you, and it happens at times, and it's a sick business. But I think for me, I've been fortunate enough to hire the right people, and so far, so good. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, man. Like I'll go with that. I'll second that, because I've been in the game 15 years now, but I've made some mistakes. I mean, you know, people that you trust, and you get burned a couple times. I mean, it happens to us. You know, we're in that limelight where people want to, you know, take advantage of us, and they see us as that sort of a paycheck and whatever, and a way to better things. So, you know, people do take advantage of you. So you learn, I guess you learn through experience. I was the same as you. I mean, we came into wealth from a relatively young age, and first one of the family. So it's been tricky, but I guess you learn through these experiences, and then makes you wise as you go on and invest in the right things, you know, whether it's property or whatever, kind of keeps things going for the long term. So definitely, it's about going through these experiences and learning from them. It would be my point on these kind of things.
Yeah, I think the real estate is something that you can make money off of and be profitable for a long time. long-term standpoint, and just staying away from bad investments, which is hard to do. I've lost money on bad investments, but I've been fortunate enough to have invested smartly and been able to kind of recoup that. But that's the biggest thing, you know, hope for the best and play it safe, get base hits. I tell guys all the time on our team, just get you don't need any more home runs. You hit the home run already, just get base hits now.
Just get on base, get those singles in there, huh?
Exactly.
Another question we have, was there ever a person who didn't believe in you and suddenly was your biggest fan when you reached the pros?
There's a lot of people that didn't believe in me, honestly, especially when I was 5'2", my freshman year in high school. People used to say that, you know, I wasn't going to get a scholarship to college, let alone make it to the NBA. It's actually funny. My AAU coach, one of my late AAU coaches later on in life, Percy, when I played for King James, the first time I tried out for LeBron's AAU team, King James, he told my mom, behind my back, he didn't tell me, obviously, he told my mom I was a Division II player at Benton, right? And this is like the first time like he had seen me play live. This is, I'm 5'11 at this point. I have no scholarship offer. 4 weeks later, I had 5 Division I college offers after 4 weekends of tournaments. So it was funny. Wow. She didn't tell me until I got my first offer. Like once I got my first Division I offer, she told me what he said. I was like, why didn't you tell me that before? She's like, I didn't want to discourage you. I said, that would have motivated me even more. So
yeah.
That's a funny story. He said I was a Division II player at best. I ended up going D1, and obviously I think it's the NBA, and the rest is history. But that's someone who, just based on like perception, like looking at me and evaluating, he didn't feel like I had what it took at the time, but he didn't understand the dog in me, you know, that heart, the will and the want to work hard and kind of aspire for more. And that's something you can't really see.
We had a cool comment come through. CJ, you're the most underrated in the league, and I'll second that. Definitely. You and I think Bradley Beal, I don't know, like, I think you guys could definitely do it with a little bit more love, but that's just my opinion anyway. Hey man, what the hell? That was a huge snub.
Damn. Great.
Next question for you. This is from Matt Warren Tiago, one of our loyal listeners. How do you see the future of basketball with current travel restrictions and social distancing in the coming months? Especially as you play 82 games in a matter of months with extensive traveling.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think we're a little ways off from figuring out how to go about traveling again safely, not just from a sports perspective, but people in general. I think airlines are suffering. A lot of people aren't flying right now, staying home. But as this continues to evolve and we sort of get a strong hold on the virus, I think travel will open back up. Obviously, you'll have to be safe with how you're traveling, the mask, the gloves, being careful what you're touching and who you're coming in contact with. But I think we'll find some normalcy in the next year and a half. I think it's going to take some time for us to recover, obviously figure out the virus and an actual cure for it. But in the meantime, I think people need to just stay home and continue to practice social distancing.
Yeah, man, I think like this thing is, as long as we learn our lessons from this whole thing, like you said, you know, social distancing, better hygiene, all these kind of things we can take in the future, you know, take on board. And I think the world will be a better place. Hopefully, if we learn a lesson, man.
Exactly.
Another question, last question from our viewers. What game aspects did you focus on during the season when you were named the most improved player in the NBA?
I worked on my handles a lot. I just wanted to continue to tighten up my handles, get more decisive with my movements, north, south, east, west. Shooting was a big emphasis. Being able to shoot off the dribble. I knew that I was going to start at shooting guard and play back on point guard. So I wanted to have an understanding of the playbook, knowing both positions and being able to get guys in their spots throughout the game from a play standpoint, whether that's the first quarter or fourth quarter, being sharp enough mentally and then shape enough physically to where I can still talk to guys even when I'm tired and still perform. So those are the areas I really worked on, and it paid off that I was able to have a tremendous leap in efficiency, performance, and our team ended up making the playoffs and getting to the second round.
Nice, man. Well, that's huge respect for the year you had, and that's a huge, huge achievement. Now, last question for me, with the Last Dance documentary coming out next week. Now, I have strong feelings about this, but anyway, best player, LeBron, Michael Jordan.
See, I'm from Ohio, you know what I'm saying? So I got a huge amount of respect and appreciation of LeBron. I think that LeBron is the most complete player of all time. I think Michael Jordan is the most dominant. So since LeBron is still currently playing and still has body of work left, he can still win more championships, he can win more MVPs, he can kind of further solidify his legacy. I think Michael Jordan is the best player of all time. LeBron has a chance to come close to catching him. I would go 1A, 1B, or 1-2, with him being second and Kobe being third. But right now, I think Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time, and I can't wait.
That's going to be good.
Documentary on Sunday. And I think the other sleeper in this top player of all time is Kareem. Kareem was unbelievable whole career, and I think that obviously I wasn't able to watch him. I wasn't part of that generation, but his dominance at the collegiate level and then at the NBA level was unlike anything we've seen. So I would say I would go Michael Jordan, and then Kareem would definitely be in that conversation as well.
Good answer. I mean, I'm with you. I watched Michael Jordan a little bit, obviously, growing up, but not to the extent of LeBron, but I've just never seen a player do everything, you know, be able to literally guard every position, be so durable, get his teammates involved, score not when he wants to, but, you know, be such a good scorer as well.
Right.
So I think it's a close call. You know, time will tell. We'll see what LeBron does in the last few years of his career and see where it takes him. But if he gets on the ring with his 13, then that's going to be a very, very interesting debate for a lot of people.
Exactly.
Well, CJ, it's been an absolute pleasure, man. I really appreciate it. Well, you're more than welcome to come to Bosnia whenever you want. I'm sure Mirek and I will look after you really, really well. But guys, listen to us. Yeah, man, anytime you're in Europe, make sure you listen to CJ's podcast, the Pull Up Podcast. It's pretty awesome. And I can't thank you enough for coming on and taking time out of your day to jump on here with me. So really appreciate it.
No problem at all, man. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm sure we'll be in touch once everything kind of clears up. I got a couple places on my list. I want to get to Bosnia. I want to get to Croatia. Some of the places. We went to Italy last year, so we'll get back to Positano and some of those areas, and I'll definitely reach out for recommendations.
You know
where I should be at in Italy when I do go.
That's it. And whenever I make my way up to Oregon, I'll let you know.
Yeah, just say, I'll take care of you. Just let me know.
You know, all right, brother. Take care of yourself. Stay safe.
All right. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man.